to look up our reading today, which comes from John chapter 1. And if you've got the church Bibles in front of you, you'll see that on page 1063. And if you turn there, you can follow along in front of you too. So that's page 1063 and John chapter 1. And then we're just going to try and make connection with the ISS.
Day 4, Starlog Day 7/4/24.
I think we're nearly there. It's just coming into range at the moment.
Fellow astronauts, I'm Captain Moon. I hope you've had great fun over the last few days. Sam at Missing Control has asked if I would read for you the Bible reading for today. Please follow it with me from your paper Bibles in front of you. You can find it on page 1063, and it's from John chapter 1, starting right at the beginning in verse 1. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Until we all meet again, fellow astronauts, live long and prosper.
Super. So if you're looking for Nathan this morning, I'm afraid you're not going to find him. He is on his way back down from the ISS. Hopefully you've had a little flavour of some of the things we've got up to this week in Holiday Club. We had a lot of fun, as well as the balloon rockets launched up the string, which did go a lot better, didn't it, during the week, Sam? We launched some rockets out, sorry, we made some rockets out of Coke bottles and all sorts of other things and launched them outside. And we'll be launching more after church. I know some of the young people who are here at Holiday Club brought their bottles with them, their rockets. We're going to launch those after church. And also, just to say as well, after the service today, there is going to be lunch, barbecue, sausages, hot dogs put on for people. So hopefully you can stay and enjoy those after the service this morning too. But more about that later on. But amongst all the fun of Holiday Club, am I on, David? Amongst all the fun of Holiday Club, we have been thinking, as Sam said already, what it means for us to be one with God. And this morning we're going to be thinking a little bit more about what this means as we look at one Bible verse which is going to help us to see. And it was part of that passage which Nathan read out to us from the International Space Station, John chapter 1 verse 12, which, Sam, are we able to get that up on the screen by any chance? Just trying. We have been having a few techie issues. Good job NASA isn't relying on us to run their missions. But it's just coming up. But it's on the front page of your service sheet as well. You'll see that, John chapter 1. Let me just read that out again as Sam tries to get that open for us today. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, it's all about becoming part of God's family. Now, I just want you to turn to the person next to you for a moment. And I want you to try and come up with some ideas about what are some of the good things about being part of a family. I know family's not always easy. I know it's not always straightforward. But if you're trying to think just for a moment about some of the good things about being part of a family, what kind of things might you suggest? So just turn to the person next to you and just for a moment have a chat about that. Some of the good things about being part of a family. Just another minute.
Okay, that's fine, that's fine.
Okay, let's get some answers then. Any thoughts? What are some of the good things about being part of a family? Any ideas? Esme, is that hand going up? What's good about being part of the family?
Having mugs. Yes, that's a lovely answer. I want to be part of your family, Esme. Brilliant. Any other answers? What's good about being part of the family? Yes, sir. You have company, don't you? Yes, there are people around you. That's a shared point of view. Okay, thank you.
Things that I came up with as well. Families are often places where we can experience love, aren't they? Support has been mentioned. Provision. We can provide for one another. We can belong somewhere, can't we? We can share with one another too. Well, I've got something to share with you all this morning. Now who recognises who this person is? Anyone can tell me who this person is? Let's go to that. Willow, you've got your hand up nice and high. Taylor Swift, if you were going to say that, give yourself a pat on the back. That's the correct answer. It's Taylor Swift. Now for a bonus point. Can anybody tell me why Taylor Swift has been in the news this week? Charlotte Jane? Richest on the billionaire list. It's been widely reported across the media this week. Due to her success, Taylor has made a lot of money. But even more incredibly, in the week that it's been announced that Taylor Swift has been joined the world's billionaires, my uncle, who's been working on tracing our family tree, he sent an email around our family, this is a true story, to let us know that he's just uncovered that we're related to Taylor Swift. Now, Uncle Peter, is still to fine-tune the exact nature of the relationship, but it works out something like we're 16th cousins, 9 times removed. You see, we're family. And remember, families share everything, don't they? Families share everything. So we're looking forward to our family reunion with the wedding. Belle's rumoured to be not far away, and then Monica's already starting to pick out her outfit for the big day as we're getting the invitation through the post. It's incredibly exciting to discover that we're family. Now, in case anybody's worried, I'm only joking. Not about the email and the possible distant links, but whilst tenuous at best, even if it's true, we're so distantly related that it's not going to make any difference to my life, or arguably hers. You see, there are hundreds of thousands of other people who can claim to be related in a similar way. If you keep tracing back, I'm guessing most of us in this room are probably related in one aspect or another. And actually, it's not all that special to be 16th cousins 9 times removed. And so please don't go away this morning thinking that this is amazing, because really, it's not. But what we read about in our passage today, I think is really amazing. It's incredibly special. Because did you remember what it says about Jesus? It says that Jesus has come so that we can have the right to become not 16th cousins, 9 times removed of a billionaire. But do you see what it says again in verse 12? It says that Jesus has come so that we can have the right to become children of the one who owns absolutely everything. The one who has made everything and the one to whom everything therefore belongs has given us the right to become his children, to become one with him, to share everything that he has. It means that we can become part of his family and that we can enjoy all the blessings that this new status brings. You see, being a child of God means that you can enjoy a relationship with your Maker, with your loving Heavenly Father. It means that God welcomes you into his family as his own child, an heir of the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. It means you get to experience God's love and his care. It means that there's nothing to fear, either in life or in death, because God is with you. You're not alone, and he's working out all things for your good. It means that you know where you're going when you die, to a loving Heavenly Father who's prepared a place for you, a perfect place where there's no more bad stuff. It means that whatever your circumstances now, that you have a future, and a glorious one at that. For his kingdom is eternal. It's outside of time and space, as John 1 claims, it was there at the beginning. You see, this is what's truly mind-blowing. For it means that we can enjoy perfect security, perfect intimacy with the Maker of everything, and we can dwell in his presence forever. It means that there's hope in what can sometimes be a dark and scary world. And it means that we can enjoy peace. A peace that I think deep down we all crave. And guys, this is just for starters. It's amazing, isn't it, that through Jesus we can become part of not just any family, but God's family. The best family there possibly is. Now you might think, well, isn't everybody a child of God? What's so special about what Jesus is saying here? What's so amazing about his offer? Well, did you notice in verse 12 again that John says, if you think that, you'd actually be wrong. You see, none of us automatically have this right. In fact, the Bible even says that none of us even really want it, as we've all turned our back on God and we've all gone our own way. We've all cut ourselves off from him, cut ourselves out of the family. If you know the story of the parable of the prodigal son, you might remember that this is a picture of that. when the younger son leaves his father and heads off to enjoy his father's inheritance without acknowledging him in his life. You see, we've all walked away from God. We've all turned our back on him. But wonderfully in his mercy, God still calls us back to him. He invites us to return to him, to become part of the family again, and to enjoy all that he would wants to lavish upon us. Not as 16th cousins nine times removed, but as his children, dearly loved and special to him. We've just celebrated Easter, haven't we? Has anybody got any Easter eggs left over? A few people, a few. More than I was expecting. Who's eaten them all already? Yes, yes. Who's just not owning up at this point? Okay, don't worry. But we've just celebrated Easter Day, haven't we? As well as enjoying lots of chocolates and having lots of fun. We remembered and celebrated Jesus' death upon the cross as he died to pay the price for all of our mistakes, all of our sin, all the things we've got wrong, so that we can become part of that family, become children of God. You see, God is a generous God, a good God, a God who wants us to enjoy that special, intimate relationship with him. And so he invites us, everybody here, to find our place in the world as we find our place in his family. Understand that Jesus came into the world to deal with our rebellion against him and to make this possible to enjoy this special relationship with him. You see, it's God's gift to us all, and if it's true, it's a gift, isn't it, that far outweighs anything else that we could possibly dream of. But notice what it says in verse 12 again. That it's only through receiving Jesus into our lives that we can receive it and enjoy this amazing privilege. Now, put your hand up if you like receiving parcels through the post. Anyone like receiving parcels with your name written on them? I think we all do, don't we? Normally it's something exciting, maybe something you know that's coming because you've ordered it yourself. Maybe it's a surprise because it's a present that somebody's been kind enough to send to you. But imagine if you were expecting a delivery. The big day comes when the parcel's due to be arrived, and the postman parks a van outside the front of your house and walks up your drive and knocks on the door, and you're stood there on the other side trying to make the decision. Do you receive that parcel or not? Well, what happens if you don't decide not to open the door? It gets returned to the post office, doesn't it? And you never get to enjoy that gift which has been given to you, which has been sent your way. And so what do you have to do if you want to receive the gift? You have to open the door, don't you? So the postman can give you that parcel. Well, the same is true of this gift that God wants to give to you. To have God's gift, you have to take it and receive it. To welcome Jesus into your life. He's on the other side of the door knocking. Will you open it to him? Are you part of the family yet? Do you know what it is to be a child of God? It's an invitation to us all this morning, that each one might receive Jesus, that we too might become part of the family. Just as I close, let me read those words again. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful and amazing privilege. What a wonderful and amazing gift that God gives to each one of us. Will you receive it? Let's pray. Let me read those amazing words again. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Father God, we thank you so much that through Jesus we can become part of your family. We want to thank you that Jesus went to suffer and die upon the cross so that we might be able to receive him into our lives, that we might be able to place our trust in him so that we could return to you. We thank you, Lord, that being part of your family is such a wonderful place to be. And we pray that each one of us, you would help us to receive that gift you give us as we accept Jesus into our lives. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, James. Well, we're going to